Harika işte. Good morning, dear devotees. Glory to Prabhupada. I apologize for being late. It's becoming a regular thing now. GBC meetings have increased, and I just finished, and then I had to switch immediately, and it took a little time. And they're going to increase all at least 2-3 times a week now. And I'll do the best I can. That's my little announcement. We'll read Bihad Bhagavatamrita tonight. In case that comes as a surprise to you. And reading chapter 4. And text 176. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Tataiva lakshmya bhaktanam bhaktir lokasya karmanam sa sa vishesha vaichitri sada sampadyate yataha. Thus the different varieties of the Lord's devotees, of his devotional service, of his world, and of his activities constantly arise from Lakshmi. Commentary. The Lord has many devotees like Sri Shesha and Garuda. His devotional service has many forms like hearing and chanting. His abode, Sri Vaikuntha, has a multitude of opulences, and he engages in many different activities. Lakshmi is the energy of the Lord through whom all this variety is manifest. Without her participation, the other energies of the Lord could not be displayed in diversity, because they are basically one with him as pure spirit. As the word sada in this verse indicates, the unfolding of transcendental variety is eternal and ever expanding. In the words of Sri Vishnu Samhita, Icha Shaktir Gyanak Shakti Kriya Shaktir Iti Tridha Shakti Shaktamatos Chapi Nabheda Kaschit Ishyate. She expands into three energies: the energy of desire, the energy of knowledge, and the energy of action. No difference can ever be found between the energy and its possessor. At the end of the second chapter, the nature of variety within the absolute truth has already been elaborately discussed. In short, Lord Narayan has various associates by his side, like Shesha, the son of Kadru, and Garuda, the son of Vinata. Sri Narayan's Vaikuntha appears in the material world in various forms, like Svetadvip and Ramapriya Loka. Various tastes appear in the different limbs, angas, of his devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting. In his diverse pastimes, he displays a host of wonderful qualities, like his compassionate concern for his devotees. And in his highest abode, he enjoys himself in various ways, such as drinking his mother's breast milk, crawling on the ground, and playing children's games. Excuse me. There is a reference I wanted to find that made me think of as I was reading this purport. I hope I can find it. Om Agyana Timarandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unminitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Ukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Garim Yat Kripata Mahambande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shanyavari Paschachade Sutarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Siddhi Gauravaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Last time was Monday when we were reading from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and the verse we were speaking about was how Mahalakshmi is the mother who gives birth to the varieties of ecstasy that appear during the worship of the Lord. Through her, the Supreme Lord displays his different features. And we talked about how, although we were speaking about Lakshmi, Mahalakshmi, who was manifest in Vaikuntha, and how she is the source of all other Lakshmis, all other goddesses of fortune. We also spoke a little bit about how Mahalakshmi and Srimati Radharani are also non-different, and how she creates unlimited varieties of pleasure. She is the abode of all pleasure that is experienced for this, by the Supreme Lord. And she, and as we said, and also continuing here, is non-different from Mahalakshmi. Just as the, the first point, which is in today's verse, it states that the distinct varieties of the Lord's devotees, of his devotional service, of his world, and of his activities, they constantly arise from Lakshmi. In other words, she is the source of the unlimited varieties of pleasure. The Lord derives his pleasure from Srimati Radharani. She is the one who gives greatest pleasure to him. But the point that is being made here in this verse today is all potencies of the Lord come under the jurisdiction of Srimati Radharani. Just as we say that Krishna is the source of all potencies, we can say the same of Srimati Radharani. And verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which, did I bring those verses? Maybe not. Maybe I have them here. Verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read one of the verses previously, but the expansion of that one verse gives evidence how Radharani is the source of all other potencies. Although Krishna is the source of all potencies, Radharani is also the source, because there is non-difference, simultaneous oneness and non-difference of Shakti and Shaktiman. Krishna is Shaktiman, and Srimati Radharani is Shakti. And she is full potency, because it's she who gives pleasure to Krishna, and all forms of pleasure which Krishna experiences is a result of her being the agent of pleasure. And therefore, she provides unlimited varieties of pleasure for the Supreme Lord through all the unlimited potencies which are manifest everywhere. Now we will explain some verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita and which explain this point. And then we'll bring it down to a more understandable context. First, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the verse that I had quoted before, is Govinda Nandini Radha, Govinda Mohini, Govinda Sarvasva, Sarva Kanta Shiromani. This states that Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda. She is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda and the crest jewel of all his consorts. The transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Shri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. This is a quote from the Brihad Gautamiya Tantra. Krishnamayi means one who's within and without our Lord Krishna. She sees Lord Krishna wherever she casts her glance. Krishnamayi also means that she is identical with Lord Krishna, for she embodies the mellows of love. The energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him. Now, of course, when we hear this, there are those who would like to impose the conception, well, if it's identical, then being non-different, how does Krishna enjoy if they're the same? And that's what we have to understand, that they are identical, but for enjoyment, they're separate. Because how can there be enjoyment without two? Of course, Krishna can enjoy by himself. He's Atmarama, Aptakama. always fully self-satisfied. Nonetheless, what value would there be for anyone else? Where's everyone else's value if they didn't have the opportunity to give pleasure to Krishna? Because that's where the essence of our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy stands, on that principle that without the opportunity to give pleasure to Krishna, then what purpose is there for existence? So obviously, we exist to give Krishna pleasure, and therefore pleasure exists because although all his potencies, all his energies, Srimati Radharani, all the different Lakshmis, and all the other forms of potencies that we've been speaking about manifest throughout Vaikuntha, the cosmic creation, and up until even the minute parts and parcels who are also his potencies, they all exist exclusively for his pleasure. Of course, we understand also that his greatest pleasure is giving pleasure to his devotees. And that's what we understand his pastimes. His pastimes, his eternal loving pastimes, are based upon this pleasure potency that he experiences. And obviously, when Krishna derives pleasure, it's never from anything of this material world. Nothing of this material world can give him pleasure. And he has no connection with this material world for pleasure. And we've already explained that before, that whenever Krishna comes, he comes. Why? He comes because he wants to give pleasure to those who are only thinking of his pleasure. And therefore, he's not at all interested in the unlimited universes that exist throughout creation. They're all very insignificant to him, just like the small udambara fruits on the udambara tree. There's unlimited udambara fruits. And as we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita before, what is their value? What the devotees, one devotee's love for him is much more valuable to him than all the unlimited universes in the cosmic manifestation of themselves. It's the devotee which attracts Krishna. It's the love which attracts Krishna, not the universes. And therefore, Krishna has no direct connection. Why? Because even in the creation, maintenance, and destruction of all of these universes, they're all done through his energies. Not him. Gyanabala Kriyacha, Parasya Shakti Vivitavya Shuyate, as explained. It's all done through his energies, very perfectly through his energies. He doesn't have to get involved. Not only does he not have to get involved, he doesn't. He doesn't get involved because his energies act according to his will. And all of these energies, the primary source of all of these energies is his internal potency, which is Yoga Maya. And of course, the embodiment is Srimati Radharani, and who's manifest in all these other different types of energies that we've been speaking about in so many weeks past, through the different goddesses of fortune, through Durga, and through Chanchala Lakshmi in relationship to the material world, flickering Lakshmi, who's different from Mahalakshmi. She's just a small expansion of Mahalakshmi, and she's flickering because, as we already explained, because her primary purpose is to be with Narayan. But those who try to extract the pleasures from Chanchala Lakshmi and don't include Narayan, then she's not very committed and she's flickering. They may get their Lakshmi, or they may get their opulences as a result of her provisions. But if you try to enjoy separate, she's flickering. So these are all potencies which are coming ultimately, and all these varieties of potencies are coming ultimately from Purna Shakti. This Purna Shaktiman, who's Krishna, he's Purna Shaktiman. He's completely full, complete, the energetic source. And who is Purna Shakti? Is Srimati Radharani. Who, as we described right here, is also Mahalakshmi. And it is Lakshmi who creates the distinct varieties of pleasures of the Lord's devotees, of his devotional service, of his world, and of his activities. All these varieties are constantly arising from Lakshmi. Right? Variety is the mother of enjoyment. So Krishna's enjoyment has to be based upon unlimited varieties of enjoyment. And these unlimited varieties of enjoyment being eternal means they're ever expanding. It's not like you can stop, this is it. This is how Krishna enjoys. But they're ever expanding eternally. And therefore, sometimes we may even read some of the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam, and we read about certain pastimes which are described of how Krishna derives pleasure from his devotees. And then we may see that, you know, sometimes we may hear about from some other references, but why is that not there in Srimad Bhagavatam? Well, Srimad Bhagavatam is just, it's not everything. It's unlimited. How can we say that it's everything because it's Krishna? But there's so many more pastimes which are not elaborated on in Srimad Bhagavatam. And in fact, there are even some pastimes which were purposely, as we described in our last class, purposely not spoken about by Shukadeva Goswami because there was too much potential of him not being able to finish what he was set out to do with Maharaj Parikshit. And of course, it was Maharaj Parikshit who told his mother Uttara everything that we're reading about in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It all came from his conversation with Uttara when she said, please, can you summarize what you heard from Shukadeva Goswami? And because even you heard so much, but we only got a certain amount of time before, you know, and we don't know how long we have. So can you please just give me a summary? Give me the essence. And it's not unlimited pastimes of ways that Krishna enjoys with his devotees. And sometimes we even hear that some of the various pastimes that are described, they seem to take place at a different time. And our Vaishnava acharyas are explaining, yes, it may seem like this, there is no continuity in the pastime, and that's because this particular pastime took place in a different Brahma Kalpa and at a different time, or could have taken place in a different universe. Unlimited pastimes. And even those who describe the various pastimes, they oftentimes state in their descriptions of the Lord's pastimes that the pastimes that were performed by the Lord, especially as stated about Lord Chaitanya, his pastimes, are impossible to complete. I can only give you, you know, a few references to give you a little understanding, because at every moment of every hour of every day is a pastime. So they say, I can only give you so much And therefore, I'm simply trying to give you the essence. Or as we just explained before also, when it was describing the different incarnations of the Lord, Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami, they're unlimited. I can't tell you the unlimited incarnations of the Lord. I'm only going to tell you about the chief incarnations from among them. That's not possible. It's not possible to... Only Ananta Shesh can do that. And he even can't come to the end for all of eternity. So if these are all pastimes with the Lord's devotees, then it must mean that Purna Shakti or Srimati Radharani is arranging unlimited varieties of pleasure for the Lord. Unlimited. And because all the pastimes are meant for the Lord's pleasure. And what to speak of meant for the Lord's pleasure, all the Lord's pastimes are aimed in providing unlimited varieties of pleasure for those who serve him. And that's what we talked about last time, how she is the one who gives birth to the varieties of ecstasy to the devotees. Why? Because the devotees, they experience their ecstasy from pleasing the Lord unlimitedly, without any stop. And that's going to come up also. It's going to come up. What does it mean? No stop, no influence of time, eternally. And then when we start thinking about or trying to conceive about how do I serve Krishna eternally and not get bored with my service? Sometimes people with a mundane conception of eternality, Prabhupada talks about that in the Bhagavad Gita, Vita Ragabhaya Krodha. He talks about the fear, the innate fear people have that when they hear that the eternality, that they are told that you're eternal, they think, you mean I got to live like this forever? And then immediately they fear eternality means like this forever? And they can't, not only cannot grasp it, they're afraid of it because they have no conception at all of what eternal pleasure is and the eternal varieties of pleasures the devotees experience, the ecstasies the devotees experience, not just in the presence of the Lord, but even greater ecstasies are experienced, higher pleasures are experienced by those devotees who are experiencing separation from the Lord. And in this way, devotional service, the varieties of the Lord's devotees, his devotional service, his worlds, and his activities, they constantly arise by Lakshmi. As we said in Goloka, that's Yoga Maya. And of course, who is also coming from Srimati Radharani, all these potencies. She is the source of all these potencies. And now I'm going to get back to Chaitanya Charitamrita and continue with those verses, with hopefully with a little more insight behind these verses. Therefore, Radha is Parama Devata, the supreme goddess, and she is worshipable for everyone. She is the protectress of all. She is the mother of the entire universe. I've already explained the meaning of Sarva Lakshmi. Radha is the original source of all goddesses of fortune. Sarva Lakshmi also indicates that she fully represents the six opulences of Krishna. Therefore, she is the supreme energy of Krishna. Kanti may also mean all the desires of Lord Krishna. All the desires of Lord Krishna rest in Srimati Radharani. Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. This verse is Radha Purna Shakti, Krishna Purna Shakti Man. Dui Vastu Beda Nai, Shastra Paraman. Radha is the full power, Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are not different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. They are indeed the same, just as musk and its scent are inseparable, or as fire and its heat are non-different. Thus, Radha and Lord Krishna are one, yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pastimes. How can there be pleasure? They've taken two forms. So, of course, this is all leading up in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's all leading up to help us understand that these two forms have again united. They've separated, but they have again united in Lord Chaitanya, who is the combination of Radha and Krishna. So that help us to understand what's happening internally in Lord Chaitanya. The same pleasure that is experienced by the separate Radha and Krishna is experienced by Lord Chaitanya, who's manifest himself as both. Golden complexion. Yeah. So we're not going to talk about Lord Chaitanya right now. We're speaking about Radha and Krishna. I wanted to read another reference. This reference also is on the same point. It's from Srila Prabhupada. And it's in one lecture. This is a lecture from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1743, given in Vrindavan. Prabhupada says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has got many potencies, multipotencies, and one of the potencies is Ladini Shakti, pleasure potency. That pleasure potency is Sita, Radharani, Lakshmi Devi. This has been described by Swarup Damodar Goswami. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritya Ladini Shaktir Asmad Ikatmanav Api Deha Bedam Gatau Do. These are described that Krishna's pleasure potency, Radharani, is Krishna. But to take pleasure, they became two. Ekat manav api deha bedam gatau tau. They became divided into two, Radha and Krishna. And as we spoke of last time, if anybody asks when, don't ask it. Because there is no question. We were quoting Jagadananda Pandit to say when Radha and Krishna became two, or to say when Radha and Krishna combined and became one, or became Lord Chaitanya, there's no question. We cannot discuss this and understand it anyway. As soon as we say when, then we immediately have to look for some reference in time, and there are no references in time to it all apply to the use of the word when. Just as no references of time to say, when did we exist? When was there a time? Krishna says, no, never was there a time when you did not exist. So if we ask, when did the potencies exist? When did Krishna create his potencies that always eternally exist along with him? Sorry, can't go there. There's no when. It's inconceivable. So that is the nature of Krishna's inconceivable potencies. And if we wish to ever understand them, these inconceivable potencies, we must accept that Krishna has inconceivable potencies. If we don't accept that Krishna has inconceivable potencies, we'll never understand his inconceivable potencies. We'll never even be able to stand on the shore of the ocean of his inconceivable potencies to begin to understand. It means it has to be accepted. Inconceivable potencies means inconceivable. And if we try to conceive of that which is inconceivable by mundane logic and argument, forget it. Prabhupada would always quote that verse in Mundaka Upanishad, that if you try to approach that which is inconceivable by logic and argument, forget it. You can't do it. Not possible. Krishna is not accessible by logic and argument. How is he accessible? Atapite deva padam bhajadvaya. You got to get a drop of his mercy. And without that drop of his mercy, then there's no other way to understand the greatness of his personality, not by strength, not by material logic and arguments, not by anything else. He'll never can be approached. Only by that mercy. And if we want that mercy, then we have to pray for it. And if we want to be able to pray for it, then we have to accept that Krishna will hear the prayers of those who accept that he's free to do, he's Sava, he's Purna Shaktiman. He is the source, completely full of all potencies, which means he has unlimited potencies that can be never be fully understood by the blunt material senses. Takshi Krishna nabadi namadi nabaved grayam indrayai sevamukehi jivado swayam eva spuratyada. Never can be understood by blunt material senses. He can only be understood with senses which have been purified. And where to start? With the tongue. Sevamukehi jivado. We start with the tongue. What do we do with the tongue? We glorify his unlimited, inconceivable pastimes. And then with our ears, we hear. And that is one of the unlimited varieties described here in this commentary today of pleasure of the devotees. What did we just read? The Lord has many devotees, like Shesha and Garuda. His devotional service has many forms, like hearing and chanting. Wonderful forms. And there is another place in Brihad Bhagavatamrita where it's described the devotional service not only has wonderful forms of hearing and chanting. We're going to read it. It's also embracing and seeing with one's eyes. And we're going to read it because in the commentary today, Srila Sanatana Goswami says, at the end of the second chapter, the nature of variety within the Absolute Truth has already been elaborately discussed. So that's been, now we're going to talk about varieties again. So the varieties of pleasures. So it's only appropriate that we go back to the end of the second chapter of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, especially since we never read it. We started in chapter 3. And we never read this because in chapter 2, it was the conversation. I think I've talked about it before, but we never really read it. In chapter 2, it was when Gopakumara was in Satyaloka. And in Satyaloka, then different shastras came to speak to him about where he should go next. And some of the impersonal Shastras came and they began speaking about liberation, and Gopal Kumar, he began taking some interest. What is this liberation? And they began describing liberation. And then when he heard about the different, the nature of the liberation, and not only that, the descriptions of the lack of variety in the different types of liberation, then the devotional Shastras said, hey, wait a minute. we've got something else to tell you about liberation, and it has nothing to do with what you've just heard. And we're going to describe to you the nature of liberation, which gives unlimited varieties, and you've taken interest about a liberation which is varietyless, and you think that's bliss. Well, we've got something to tell you. And then the devotional scriptures went into their whole presentation about varieties. That's part of it. It was part of their presentation about the varieties of pleasure that becomes accessible to those who engage in devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, I'm going to read from, there was a few verses where the devotional scriptures talked about this different types of varieties, but let's put it into context. All these different types of varieties of pleasures for the Lord and for pleasures experienced by the devotees, Purna Shakti, the source of these varieties, is Srimati Radharani, who's also manifest as Lakshmi, especially in Vaikuntha. And now I will go to chapter 2. And for my translator, please refer to chapter 2, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, text 218, I believe. Yes, 218. We're going to talk a little bit more about varieties, which is the mother of enjoyment. Although Lord Vishnu is always one and unchanging, at every moment he brings forth hundreds of newer and newer varieties of transcendental charm. This in itself is inconceivable if you think about it. There's an example, I think that, oh, I just lost the place. There's a sample, if you think about it, that, and we just read it, about fire. The fire is, it's naturally hot. It can't be cool. How can something that is perpetually one in nature, perpetually one in nature, manifest an opposite nature of having multiple forms? How? An example is, just as fire is hot, how can fire be cool? How can one which has a perpetual nature of being one, it's just one, it's perpetually always one, but how can it then manifest multiple forms? Inconceivable. What is this? Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. It's the inconceivable simultaneous oneness. And there's difference. So they're one. Purna Shakti and Purna Shaktiman, they're one. We just read it. But then, for pleasure, there must be difference. And for the unlimited varieties of pleasure that Purna Shakti arranges, there's unlimited varieties of Shaktis, potencies. Although all potencies are one. So thus, as we're reading, excuse me, I was on text 218. I didn't even finish the verse. Although Lord Vishnu is always one and unchanging at every moment, he brings forth hundreds of newer and newer varieties of transcendental charm, both in himself and in his devotional service. He does this by his personal energy, inconceivable to everyone else. Commentary. Text 218 through 220 establish beyond a doubt that although the Supreme Lord, as the personal embodiment of the Absolute Truth, is unchanging in his Satchitananda existence, he and his activities and his devotees and theirs are full of variety that is real, not created by illusion. Non-devotees can never discover this sublime truth by conjecture. They can never understand the Lord's pastimes with his devotees. Text 219. This manifold charm, sweeter than the sweetest, is found in Sri Vishnu's supremacy as Parabrahman and his lordship over all that be. His charm displays the very limit of his most excellent compassion toward his devotees. For them, his charm lifts to the highest stage their experiences of deep oceans of sweet ecstasy, ecstasy that ridicules the pleasure derived from realization of impersonal Brahman. Don't forget, these are the devotional scriptures talking to Gopakumar and trying to, you know, tell him, look, you don't want to go there. You don't want. Because he heard something about liberation, and his first question was, can you tell me something about this liberation? I'd like to hear about it. That was his question. When all the Shastras appeared, his first question, I think it was his only question, actually. Can you tell me about liberation? So then, of course, the first impersonal liberationists or the scriptures came and told them, this is liberation. And the devotional scriptures, they're telling him, no, For them, his charm lifts to the highest stage their experience of deep oceans of sweet ecstasy, ecstasy that ridicules the pleasure derived from realization of impersonal Brahman. Rupa Goswami expands on this point in Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, how the drop of simply a small drop of devotional service to Krishna, how it can inundate the one, simply one drop can inundate the entire universe. And he also says that the amount of pleasure of impersonal, whole ocean of pleasure, impersonal Brahman can not even be compared to be one drop, to one drop of pleasure from devotional service. So this is all also expanded upon by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu. Commentary. This is the difference between the impersonal Supreme and the personality of Godhead, between liberated impersonalists and pure devotees of the Lord, between liberation and devotional service. Lord Vishnu is the original Brahman, the one without a second, but his attractive qualities are evolving constantly with ever new freshness. He is the Supreme Person, the controller of everything that exists, personal beauty, and wonderful playful activities, and universally attractive. We might be thinking, just like I was thinking, maybe others are thinking. We've been hearing so much of how the Lord does not create an illusory form, his unlimited forms, and does not create an illusory form because he doesn't want to in any way to cheat the devotees who love him so much. He wants to give himself to them eternally, to that in that form which is most pleasurable to them. And we've heard that again and again. And we heard the example of 16,108 wives and how Krishna accepted the form which was eternal and personally fully reciprocated completely in such a way that each wife thought she alone was getting the opportunity to prepare Krishna's lunch. She was the first to give Krishna his lunch. Everyone was thinking this way. And then we talked about the gopis, how each gopi was preparing an offering, and how each gopi was thinking that she alone was with Krishna. And then, but if Krishna's pastimes are unlimited, always ever fresh and ever expanding, they're also ever increasing in a way which means that the newcomers to his eternal pastimes are going to get an eternal, real Krishna. So how can we ever say that Krishna is only so many Krishnas? Because all the newcomers who are coming, they're going to get an eternal, real Krishna. And the newcomers who come to Vaikuntha, we talked about the newcomers who came to Vaikuntha. We've talked about the newcomers who will enter into Goloka. We talked about, you know, the different gopis who entered into Rasa Leela, who were Shruti Chari gopis, and how they entered in because of their desire to have a relationship with the Lord. And then we talked about the Munichari gopis who saw Lord Ramachandra and they wanted to have a relationship with him. Well, you know, these, they entered in and became gopis. So, and they're not going to get an expansion. They're not going to get an illusory Krishna. Krishna is ever increasing, ever fresh, ever new. And even the newcomers will have Krishna for themselves. So how can we ever say we can reach the limit of Krishna's unlimited nature? He's always expanding. And his varieties of pleasure are always expanding. And his varieties of devotees are always expanding in unlimited varieties of ways. And it's bliss for Krishna. It's how he enjoys. And it's bliss for those who want to give him pleasure. Krishna gives them the highest bliss. That's why today's purport, it ended. Yes, there are different varieties of pleasure. There's Ramapriya, you know, which is a Vaikuntha, which is manifest. It was Ramapriya Loka. Sveta Dweep is a manifestation of Vaikuntha, also surrounded by the milk ocean, where the Lord is lying on the milk ocean and Sveta Dweep, and even persons from this universe, they go before the Lord in Sveta Dweep. Now, this Sveta Dweep is not to be confused with the Sveta Dweep in Goloka. There's two Sveta Dweeps, the Sveta Dweep in the universe and the Sveta Dweep in Goloka also. But I'm talking about the Sveta Dweep, which is a manifestation of Vaikuntha, which Lord Brahma, whenever he goes to speak to the Supreme Lord, he doesn't enter Svetadvipa. He stands at the shore of the Milk Ocean and offers his prayers. All the demigods, they stand at the shore of the Milk Ocean. They go there and they can communicate with the Lord. So, but it's Vaikuntha. And these different varieties of places, which are the Lord's abodes. And then he ends the purport by saying, and in the highest abode, he enjoys himself in various ways, such as drinking his mother's breast milk, crawling on the ground, and playing children's games. This is how he enjoys with his eternal devotees in Goloka Vrindavan. And we talked about one of the ways he enjoys is he became the son of all the elderly gopis during the Brahma Vamohanalila. And each one of them, you know, anyone, you know, just like some devotees of the Lord, the Vallabha Sampradaya, they worship, you know, Krishna as a baby, as a child, and they have feelings of maternal affection, you know, and that's how they worship the Lord. And they may get an opportunity in the future to become an elderly gopi and to offer their and maternal affection, to offer their milk to Krishna. And this is the unlimited ways the Lord satisfies the devotees who relish a particular form of the Lord and a particular service, a mood of service to the Lord. It's ever increasing, ever increasing, ever fresh. So that's the point that's being made here, that his qualities, attractive qualities, are evolving constantly with ever new freshness. He is the supreme person, the controller of everything that exists. His personal beauty and wonderful playful activities are universally attractive. And then there's one more verse. There's a lot of details about varieties of pleasure in this verse. This is the verse spoken by the devotional Shastras, where they say, the Lord expands abundant variety to enrich his devotees forever with enjoyment in these exuberant waves of sweet ecstasy. And just as, even though he is devoid of every kind of material trait, there is firm and constant variety in him, so in his devotees, there is a strong and varied and wonderful experience in all the functions of the senses. In other words, the devotees, internally, in their senses, their ecstasies that they're experiencing continuously, which are always expanding, are providing unlimited varieties of forms of pleasure, always expanding. Commentary. Why does the Supreme Lord expand the diverseness of his personality? He does so for the pleasure of his devotees. The Lord's attractive qualities expand infinitely, giving the devotees, who are equally spiritual beings, many different kinds of opportunities to serve him by activities like hearing and chanting. This spiritual variety in devotional service expands perpetually with no beginning or end. It manifests itself in the Lord and also in his devotees, enhancing their beauty, effulgence, and enjoyment and enlivening and empowering their senses. Because fire is always hot, it can never become cold. So how can the supreme spiritual truth, eternally and changelessly one, paradoxically exhibit so much diversity? The second half of this verse answers that doubt. Although the Supreme Lord is untouched by material dualities, his transcendental nature creates in him profuse diversity, which constantly expands, unlimited by time or space. Although the Lord, the Supreme Brahman, is Nirvishesha, free from duality, he displays infinite variety by appearing as innumerable avatars, as the Supersoul in every heart, and also in his unlimited expansions, the jivas and the material energy. These are all his shaktis. Avatars, Supersoul, expansions, the jivas, and the material energy. He also expands the countless forms of devotional service, hearing and chanting about him, seeing him, conversing with him, embracing him. And these completely enchant his devotees with endless varieties of pleasure, newer and newer at every moment. By employing his personal energies, the Lord expands himself with ever fresh variety to give his devotees special happiness, far exceeding the happiness of realizing the self as one with him. He similarly offers an infinite variety of engagement for the external and internal senses of his devotees to add spice to their transcendental pleasure. Thus, in spiritual life, there is non-difference within difference. There is difference within non-difference. Without a doubt, the happiness of liberation is paltry compared to the supreme happiness of devotional service. We need not elaborate on this point any further. I didn't say that. It's the commentary. But it's a good way to end. We need not elaborate on this point any further. It's to be experienced and relished and only understood by those who derive great pleasure. Much chitad mat kata prana bodhiyantak parasparam. Derive great pleasure and satisfaction by enlightening one another, right, and conversing about him. This has been described in Bhagavad Gita, and it's been described as one of the unlimited forms in which the Lord provides pleasure for his devotees. In fact, Queen Kunti, in her prayers to Krishna, she even gave this as one of her prayers. She said that she gave various reasons why Krishna descended to glorify the Yadu dynasty. He descended, there's so many other reasons. But one of the reasons she gave is you appeared to give everyone the opportunity to hear and chant about you. Because even though when you leave behind all these wonderful pastimes for us to hear and chant about. So, therefore, she's explaining that this is one of the purposes for your descent, Krishna, to renovate, she says, the process of hearing and chanting by making your pastimes so accessible by coming and giving those pastimes. So devotees derive great satisfaction and bliss. That is one of the great varieties of pleasure that the Lord gives to his devotees by manifesting these pastimes so that the devotees can hear about them and chant about them and remember them, tell others about them, and in whatever way that we can, we should try to understand that it gives the devotee pleasure. Why? Because Krishna is pleased. This is such a wonderful way to please him. So many devotees, at their first experience, their first experience, or even sometimes older devotees, I hear this sometimes. The devotees, they write to me and they say, Guru Maharaj, I've been around for so long, and I took the opportunity. In fact, somebody just recently was telling me about this. Took the opportunity to tell somebody, and I forgot. I forgot how blissful it was. It's so nice. It was just so nice. I forgot how blissful it was to speak about Krishna. Why was it so blissful? Because Krishna's pleased. Krishna's pleased when his devotees glorify him to the point where he says, it is nobody who can please me more than somebody who's telling others about me. So if we need evidence for that, Krishna's very clearly established it. I'm happy. I'm happy when you tell others about me. And then what happens to the devotees? And hey, wait a minute. Bhajaniya parama sukha matrasa sukhadvam. When Krishna becomes happy by something we did, then without expectation, without, saying, Krishna, I want to be happy, and it comes of its own accord. We don't even have to ask for it, because Krishna is pleased. So this expands unlimitedly for the pleasure of those devotees who are Prayena Munayaraja Nivritiveda Sevita, the topmost transcendentalists. Where do they get their pleasure? They get their pleasure by hearing and chanting about Krishna's pastimes. It's unlimited. That's Bhagavatam. Prayena Munayo Raja Nivritiveda Sevita Nagunya Staramante Sna Guna Kanata Guna Katade Hari. I forget the last verse. The last part of the verse. They derive their greatest pleasure simply because Krishna's pleased. And so this is one of the ways that the Lord expands his pleasure pastimes for his devotees by manifesting these pastimes for the pleasure of his devotees who are enthusiastic to repeat them. Repeat them. Okay, I'm going to stop here. We finished text 176. We didn't talk of the verse Icha Shakti Gyana Shakti Icha Shakti Gyana Shakti Kriya Shakti Iti Tridha. This verse simply says that how she expands into three energies: the energy of desire, the energy of knowledge, and the energy of action. These three terms of Icha and Gyana and Kriya, they also apply to thinking, feeling, and willing. Just as what is a symptom of life? Symptom of life for the living entity. The symptom of life for the conditioned soul and the material body is he is thinking, he's feeling, and he's willing. And of course, by his thinking, feeling, and willing, his activities bind him to this material world. But Krishna, he has thinking, transcendental thinking, feeling and willing, which are manifest in his potencies through Purna Shakti, Srimati Radharani. And there is a verse, I believe, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That verse states, yes, Icha Jnana Kriya Vina Nahaya Sijana Tinera Tina Shakti Meli Prapancha Rachana. There is no possibility of creation without thinking, feeling, willing, knowledge, and activity. The combination of the supreme will, knowledge, and action brings about the cosmic manifestation. Anyways, again, this is his Shakti. I just wanted to cite that verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. We'll end, and we can chant a little bit. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. So we can end here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much, dear devotees. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare